Baseball Money is Fake on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Welcome to Baseball Money is Fake, fantasy baseball podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am Blake Meyer, coming to you once again on a Thursday. If you're listening to this, though, it's probably Friday. Thank God it's Friday. This has been one long week, and I cannot wait for the weekend. More baseball, more sunshine here in Washington, more good vibes, which we absolutely love. And as always, I am back again with my man, Ryan Gilbert. How you doing today, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, it's not Friday yet, Blake. Hopefully we'll get there. I mean, we got this whole smoke thing going on in Philadelphia. It's always smoky in Philadelphia here the past few days. Well, I can actually see a few clouds, which is an improvement. Been a lot of smoke in the area due to the Canadian wildfires. That's been fun. But yeah, long week here. Excited to get into the weekend matchup and some of these hot prospects.
You mean like the hottest of prospects in Ellie De La Cruz? God, that's such a corny way to transition into that. Dude, we have been talking about Ellie for what feels like forever. I know we had Eric Cross on back. Oh, man. It was like episode 8 of this podcast at the end of last September. We had Eric on and we had talked to him about Ellie De La Cruz and O'Neill Cruz. And I will never forget him telling us that Ellie De La Cruz, the only comp that he could think for Ellie De La Cruz was like prime Alfonso Soriano, like 40-40 Alfonso Soriano. And that sounded so outlandish when he said it, like so crazy. But I mean, after three games, it really doesn't feel that crazy anymore.
It doesn't feel that crazy. I mean, he had that home run, the triple, then what, last night and today he had an infield single, and I think in the first inning stole a base there off of Clayton Kershaw. So, yeah, he's been completely as advertised. Hopefully you got in on him because right now you definitely can't pick him up. You probably can't trade for him. So only thing you may be able to do with him is bet on him to win Rookie of the Year. And our Rookie of the Year right now, Corbin Carroll is the favorite at minus 140. You can get a Ellie De La Cruz at plus 500 at a FanDuel Sportsbook there. So that's not a bad option. I know we're primarily a fantasy baseball podcast. Also, Daily Fantasy, he should be underpriced for a while. So make sure you use him, especially in showdowns. Make him your Reds captain. So, yeah, but him for Rookie of the Year, he opened at 25-1. He's down to 5-1. He's down to 3-1 at some books. So, I mean, the hype train might tail off at some point and it'll get better than this, but based off what we're seeing and who he's doing it against, like this kid's for real.
Yeah. And I had to talk to somebody on Facebook after his debut about Ellie De La Cruz. And the thing that a lot of people need to keep in mind is I get it. We are in the age where everybody wants to say he's going to struggle because this person struggled, or he's a prospect, so we can't get overexcited. It's not worth it. He's just going to struggle anyway. So everybody needs to temper expectations. Not everybody has to be that guy that wants to be like that. I told you he was going to suck. It's okay to sometimes watch players that are as like talented as Ellie De La Cruz and be like, all right, he might actually be really fucking good at baseball. What he did in May, the Reds asked him to work on cutting down on his strikeouts and not swinging it as many pitches out of the zone. In May, at AAA, he ended up, I think his splits were like 21 walks to 26 strikeouts. Like, he cut his strikeout rate way down, walk rate went way up, and in turn, his OPS went up to like 1.2, hitting the shit out of the ball. He's a switch hitter that has the same power from both sides of the plate. He hit his first career home run that was one row shy of leaving Great American Ballpark.
And has the ball ever left there? Has Adam Dunn ever? I think Adam Dunn must have cleared that.
He had to have at some point because that was it went 458 feet, which I mean that's a really really long home run. But somebody's probably hit one farther. I think what I've been most impressed with Ellie so far though is the speed. A lot of guys have that, like, they talk about how fast they are and they have speeds in the short bursts. I know StatCast measures bursts and things of that nature, but Ellis doesn't seem to be in like bursts. It's every time he runs. He just ran 30.9 feet per second in back-to-back games, which is in the top one percentile of all of baseball. His triple was the fastest first to third run in all of baseball this year. And he's 6'5", 6'6", depending on what day it is. Like, is that shouldn't happen. Like, players shouldn't be able to do that. Obviously, he went 1-for-4 today. Infield single was cool. Stolen base was awesome. Struck out 3 times, which sucks. But that might be the nature of Ellie going forward, especially he's facing Kershaw. So you got to give him a little bit of slack. Mm-hmm. But players like this don't come around very often. And I know O'Neill Cruz is everybody's comp just because O'Neill Cruz is tall. But Ellie De La Cruz is better than O'Neill Cruz, as wild as that sounds.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what whoever you're arguing with on Facebook or whatever about how like all these prospects can't be great and they're not all going to be great. And yeah, with most of the guys we talked about so far this year coming up, we've hyped them up. There's been a hype train when they've been called up. I mean, like Matt Mervis, he's hitting under 200. Matt McClain's been good. Casey Schmitz cooled off after a hot start. Zach Neto has not been anywhere near what we thought he was. A bunch of these guys, like, yeah, they're going to come up. There's going to be some hype for them. But they're not going to be hyped up to the point where they're being drafted before the season. Not to the point where they hit 12 home runs in 158 at-bats this season at Triple A, where he did exactly what he was asked to do of him in May, like you said. OPS 1.2, 26 strikeouts, 21 walks, 10 home runs in 25 games. 10 home runs in 100 at-bats. That's just absolutely unheard of. So, yeah, this is someone that, I mean, there's really no fantasy baseball relevance now because – he's owned in your league, and if you don't have him, you're shit out of luck. So get on that rookie of the year betting, and you know what? Maybe look for a trade. If you're someone who's looking in a keeper league, looking towards the future, not going to win this year, maybe, you know, sell off one of your big pieces for a top prospect like De La Cruz with someone that's looking to get over the edge to win this year. So that's really the only strategy we can talk about with De La Cruz, is what to do potentially in keeper or dynasties, which speaking of, I have him in the dynasty SGPN league. Yeah. He is on the block. So feel free to come at me with offers, everybody.
I'm not going to lie.
While we're speaking of the SGPN league, make sure you check out the website, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Yes. Make sure you check out us on Twitter at Fake Baseball. Make sure you check us out on Instagram at Fake Baseball Money, YouTube at Fake Baseball Money, Twitch as well. We're streaming usually Tuesday, Thursday, 5:30 Eastern. We go live. You can always check us out there. And of course, make sure you subscribe to and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever podcast platform you listen to. And leave us a 5-star rating review. Those go a long way to help the show grow, help us do a lot of more cool stuff that we have planned coming up. So a little teaser there.
Yeah, and I know like liking a podcast or leaving just a quick 5-star rating might not seem like much to you, but it goes a long way for us, and it means the world to us. So if you guys ever, I mean, if you feel the need, if you get excited, if we get you guys fired up talking some baseball, and you want to just click that 5-star, that subscribe button, it's okay. You could do it. Like, we love it, and we appreciate you for it. But last thing that I have on Ellie is the only thing that I've taken away so far from his games, like the only like random thing. And it might just be because he faced Kershaw today. So he's a switch hitter. He hits really well from both sides of the plate. Obviously, he hits slightly better as a lefty. He may swing and miss more as a righty. Again, that could have just been because he faced Kershaw today. Kershaw's really hard to hit historically, so can't knock him for that. But he did seem a little less on it from the right side of the plate. Again, I'm reading into it a little bit because it's one start against a lefty, but who knows? He wasn't necessarily on it against lefties either. Although both of the pitches that he hit for the triple and the home run off of Syndergaard were – like, there were good pitches. Like,
oh, yeah. Also, we have to keep in mind, it was Noah Syndergaard who was just completely washed. Yeah,
that is very true.
Looking at his numbers from last year, he struck out 31 times in 83 at-bats against lefties, 63 in 198 at-bats. So, yeah, a little more strikeout problems against lefties than versus righties. For the hair, make sure you check out Edge Boost. This episode is supported by Edge Boost. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be an extremely valuable tool for your bankroll. You double your bankroll, put it on Ellie De La Cruz for a plus 500 rookie of the year right there, and get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll. It gives you some extra money. You can double down on a favorite bet like that or use it to create a middle or a hedge opportunity. They're not some sleazy loan shark either. Edge Boost charge zero interest. Just pay it back with four equal weekly installments. Edge Boost can also be a part of a responsible gambling plan, as you can set up daily, weekly, and monthly limits across all your betting accounts in one place. So support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right. So sticking with the prospect talks, I don't know if you guys have seen the title. I wrote somebody else's name up there, but there was a prospect we want to talk about. AJ Smith-Shawver for Atlanta, kind of the surprise call-up of last week that some people projected to happen eventually this year, but they didn't think it was going to happen now. He had an excellent 2 1/3 innings the other day, 3 strikeouts, and now he's slated to start on Friday against the Washington Nationals. I have mixed feelings on this because, one, it's the Washington Nationals who, when you just say the name, they suck. Okay, but hear me out. Since May 21st, Washington's only striking out 17% of the time.
Yeah, it's tough. I think they're the lowest strikeout team possibly in the league. I know they were up there for a while.
And so a lot of Smith-Shawver's upside comes from his strikeout ability. He has great breaking stuff. He doesn't have a ton of command on his fastball, but it missed a lot of bats in his relief appearance. He sat right around like 94 miles an hour on average, I think it was. It's got a good amount of run, too. 18.8 inches of implied movement, which is pretty damn good for a fastball. Bryce Miller's at 21 inches, so for reference. But yeah, like it should be a game that they win because Atlanta should beat Washington, just like relatively speaking. But I think expectations need to be tempered. He's the hot name for starts for Friday. He's the guy that everybody's looking to pick up off the waiver wire to run out there. And he very well could have a good game, but it could be a 5 innings with 3 strikeouts and gives up 4 hits and a run type of game. I can't imagine he goes out there and gets you double digit Ks.
Yeah, that's the one thing about the Nationals. You think they're a bad team, maybe rack up strikeouts? No, they somehow put the ball in play and they make pitchers work there, which, yeah, I didn't realize 2 years ago at this time, Smith-Shawver was not even drafted yet. He was drafted in the 7th round of 2021, played some rookie ball that year. Last year was in A-ball, Carolina League, at a 5.11 ERA in 17 starts. Yeah, those strikeouts, 103 strikeouts in 68 2/3 innings last year, 45 strikeouts in 33 innings this year in the minors. Yeah, he's been great this year. He showed that he can pitch in the majors out of relief there against the Diamondbacks in his debut. So maybe we'll see if he can. I picked him up in my, I don't think I'm in my keeper league, but my other league, my 8-team league, I picked him up because I figured facing the Nationals, it's the Braves. He'll be a big favorite. So it's just a matter of him getting 5 innings, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and he's done a lot of things I like too. Like, granted, he only threw 2 2/3 innings in his relief appearance, but 33% slider usage, which is good. You know, we like a higher slide. Like, I love the slider. I love that as a good secondary pitch or even a primary pitch, especially this year. It seems to be very effective for those that can throw it well. That is his best pitch, and had a 33% usage rate. He was like 56% on the fastball. He mixed a curve in a little bit. He's really just he's like a 2.5 pitch guy, but there is value there. Just temper your expectations because it's likely 3 or 4 strikeouts is what's going to happen. Cause I mean, Washington Nationals had the 4th highest batting average since May 21st as well. They're hitting almost 280. So he's going to run into some issues a little bit. But the Braves really like this guy. They called him up for a reason. They wouldn't call him up if they didn't have a reason because he is still so young and still early on in his career. But it really feels like they want him to have a permanent spot in the rotation, and they are trying to give him every chance they can to succeed. And hopefully that's what happens on Friday.
Yeah, looking ahead to next week, they then go to Detroit to face the Tigers and then return home to face the Rockies. So if they keep in the rotation, I mean, Nationals and then at Comerica Park is two pretty good parks to two pretty good matchups to start with. Anyone else? Moving it around a little bit. Any other pitching matchups you have your eye on for Friday? I'm not sure if we're recording tomorrow, so I'm not going into Saturday matchups yet. But one guy I'm looking at should be another win going against the Oakland Athletics is Adrian Hauser of the Milwaukee Brewers. Only rostered in 9% of Yahoo leagues last time out at Cincinnati. 7 innings, 2 strikeouts, 1 run, quality start, got the win. Tough go in Toronto before that, but before that, 11 and a third scoreless against Houston and Tampa Bay, including a quality start there. So I think Hauser in all leagues, if you're looking for a streaming option, I'd pick him up. I mean, there might be some better guys available, you know, that are rostered in more percentage leagues. Maybe Tyler McGill going against Pittsburgh. But you got Kikuchi against the Twins. That's tough. Montgomery against the Reds is kind of tough. Suarez against the Dodgers. Suarez, what was a good call last Sunday, though, by you? He went 7 innings for a quality start against those Nationals. But yeah, I think for Friday, the guy I might just end up picking up right now is Adrian Hauser.
I love that move. I think that's a good one, especially we talk a lot on here about, like, when you look for these streamers, you're just looking for a consistent production. You're not likely to find, like, ace-level stats on the waiver wire. You're just looking for consistent production. I think Hauser is going to give you that consistent production, and he's got a good matchup, which is, I mean, it's 2 for 2 on checking the boxes there. Mm-hmm. Mine that I love, I feel like a broken record saying this because I've said it multiple times now. It's fucking Ben Lively, dude, for the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, he's going tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, he's going again tomorrow. He's going against, I think he's going against Jack Flaherty.
No, he's going against Montgomery.
Jordan Montgomery. And the Cardinals. I mean, that seems like a prime matchup for Lively for me. He gave up 5 runs in his last outing, but he went 7 innings, which is nice. Struck out 5. Again, we talked about it on the last episode. If you go check that out, I don't know what it is that the Reds are doing, but the Reds have mastered the art of teaching their pitchers how to dominate with breaking pitches. Slider, like Lively's slider right now is up to a 24.3% usage rate. He didn't use it at all last year that he pitched at the major league level. And the highest usage rate he's ever had on it was like 14%. So he's 10% above that. And it is a dominant pitch. It has a 0.038 batting average against, a 142 expected batting average, and a 46.8% whiff rate. And he's thrown it 110 times. It's a really fucking good pitch. The Cardinals, for as good as some guys like Nolan Gorman have like kind of come out to be this year, Paul Goldschmidt's always good. Arenado's been slow, but he's bringing it around again. They're still a very swing and miss heavy team. Lively could be in line again. Reds like to let their pitchers run up their pitch counts, so he could be in there again for another 6 or 7 innings. And this could be, man, I don't want to predict double digit strikeouts. So I'm gonna say 8 Ks. I'm gonna say 7 innings with 8 Ks.
8 strikeouts for Ben Lively. All right. That's gonna be good going against Jordan Montgomery because he won his first 2 starts, but the Cardinals have lost his last 10 starts in a row. So it's some bad luck. 3-4-3, 4-3, 6-5, 3-2, 5-4, 1-0. Like there's been close games there, but something, I don't know if they don't like playing behind him or what it is there. But yeah, Lively, I forgot he's going tomorrow. It's pretty good pick there.
Thank you, sir. And I mean, next person on the list, I want to get your thoughts on it because he's kind of the talk of the baseball world right now. The boy Luis Arraez, man, like he's batting. I think he's batting 403 right now at this point.
Yeah,
in the year, which is granted, there's still a lot of baseball left to play. But Luis Arraez is somebody that we were high on before the year.
Not me, right? That's all you. That is all you.
I'll take credit for it. I was high on him. Everybody thought that the Pablo Lopez for Luis Arraez trade was weird. And why would the Miami Marlins do that? And it's because Luis Arraez is the modern day Tony Gwynn, as weird as that is to say. Because, I mean, Tony Gwynn is an all-timer. Luis Arraez is, I don't even know how to like navigate that sentence I was just about to put together.
Here's the thing though with Arraez. Yeah. And it's a great debate we could have. Yes. He's a great baseball player. He's hitting 403 OPS of 947. But like in a 5x5 league where average is only one category, he has one home run on the year, 26 runs, 30 RBIs. Is he like really that amazing of a fantasy player? Like that's where the disconnect is with guys like him and mm-hmm. other guys like that that don't necessarily put up the big home run numbers, don't get stolen bases, but they hit for average. I mean, maybe it's worth having him, and then you can have someone like Schwarber, someone like a Gallo type that hit under 200 and know that you can still win average that week with Urias. But I don't know if it's different in a points league maybe with you, because he does get some doubles, but I don't know. In a 5x5 league, I could see it, but if you go bigger than that, then I'm not sure if he's really... I mean, he's a great player. He's definitely worthy of being rostered in a lot of leagues, but... I don't know. I'm hearing this, like, should he be MVP? Like, if he hits 400 for the whole year, I'm sure he wouldn't be, but we'll see.
I agree with you in that category leagues. I think he has the least value. Normally, I kind of value category and roto leagues the exact same.
Yeah,
I think in Luis Arraez's case, I would value it slightly different. Category leagues, he probably has the least amount of value just because hitting 400 is cool. Miami didn't score a ton of runs as it is, so he's likely not going to score 100 runs this year, which you'd like to see from a guy that hits 400. And he's not going to drive in more than 60 runs likely for the whole year. So that caps his value there. Roto leagues, he can help you win the average category in a roto league, which is good. Like, so he has slightly more value there. Points leagues is where the value at. Right now, he's the third ranked first baseman on ESPN points leagues. And it's mainly because, I mean, when it comes to points leagues, obviously batting average is crucial because every total base is 1 point. But then also every strikeout is a negative point. Every walk is a point. This year, Luis Arraez had a 4.6% strikeout rate. Last year, when he was really good and he caught everybody by surprise, he had a 7% walk rate or strikeout rate. This year, he has a 4.6% strikeout rate with an 8% walk rate. Like, for a guy to hit 400 and then just not strike out, he has a 96% zone swing rate or zone contact rate. 96% zone contact rate, which is absurd. So, in points leagues, I think he has reached you should trade for him levels. Like, I think this might just be who he is this year, and he's reached you should definitely get him on your roster level of player in a points league.
This might be the time to do it while everyone's having that debate about whether or not he's a amazing fantasy player, because he is an amazing fantasy player in points leagues, like you just said. So, yeah, but also a side note here, why don't the Marlins just trade him to, like, a contender that needs a leadoff hitter? Like, give me Luis Arraez on the Phillies. Put him in first base, lead him off.
I thought you said, like, a contender.
All right. Give him to the Mariners, who just signed fucking Didi Gregorius.
Oh, I knew that was coming. God damn it. I knew that was coming.
Yeah, like a contender having someone that you know is going to get on base at least 40% of the time, the top of your order, like, trade a top prospect for that.
You know why? It's because the Marlins are contenders.
Oh, God.
Dude, they're 35-28. They're 3 games back from Atlanta for first place in the NL East right now.
It's 8-2 in their last 10. De La Cruz. Straight. Even with Sandy being awful. What? That's wild.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of rumors.
Andy's 2-5. If he was 5-2, they'd be even better.
I think teams are going to come calling for Sandy come trade time. And I've heard Jorge Soler to the Mariners. A lot of trade talks about Jorge Soler to the Mariners.
Every lately. Big bat, like, that's actually heating up.
Well, DePoto came out recently and said, like, pretty much finally said that, like, okay, yeah, we might need to add a bat to the lineup to get things going, even if it means us making a move for a rental player for the rest of the year, which he never says that at all. So the fact that he actually came out and said that, and then we signed Didi Gregorius. Woo-wee. Like, what a fucking signing. Although that's also a very DePoto thing to do, to say that, and then DDBR, like, oh, yeah, like, that was our big signing. Yeah. He's notorious for saying, like, oh, we just had this person come off the injured list, so it's like we traded for a player.
Everyone says that, yeah.
God, I fucking hate that sentence so much. The bane of my existence.
All right. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Best Ball Mania 4 is here, and Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes. Plus, I believe they have their midseason MLB contest up. Maybe we do a Underdog Best Ball draft sometime for MLB midseason one there. Also have NBA and NHL playoffs going on with their player prop parlays. So head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Speaking of Underdog Best Balls, how are ours doing? Have you checked on them?
I don't know how our specific one is doing. I forget.
Oh, yeah, I don't even remember which one our specific one was.
Actually, I may have labeled it, but I'll check on it and see.
All right, but one thing we haven't covered that we do like to talk about because it's important in the fantasy world would be injury updates. I think my favorite injury update that has come out recently is Justin Steele, who I have talked about nonstop since the end of last year. Like, he was one of my must-have players for this year. I told everybody in the offseason. Oh, you know what? That was a fucking good one. That was a good one. He got pulled out of his last start after three innings. Everybody feared the worst. He got his MRI. It turned out maybe it wasn't that bad. And it looks like he's likely to be activated from the IL on June 17th when he is first ready to be activated. So I think that would be two missed starts for him, which not bad. So hopefully if somebody did panic and ditched him, now's the time to pick him up because he is still great, even though he did fall off for, I think he had two bad starts in a row or something like that. So whatever. Like, he's a very good pitcher. He needs to be owned. And if he's available in your league, make a move for him. Maybe you can sneak a trade in for him. Good buy low candidate coming off an injury. I love to buy players coming off injuries like this because you can normally get them for very discounted prices. And yeah, he's somebody you guys need to be making a move for.
Yeah, another pitcher that if he was dropped when he went on the IL is Phillies potential closer, Jose Alvarado. He does have 5 saves on the year, 0.63 ERA, 24 strikeouts and 14 innings. He's going to be activated on Friday ahead of the Phillies home series against the Dodgers. So not sure if he'll be in the closer spot right away, but he should be in high leverage spots the rest of the way. So still rostered 73% on Yahoo, but if someone dropped him and you need saves, I would recommend picking him up.
Yeah, he was so fucking good at the beginning of the year. Yeah, and the Phillies are, I like to give you shit about them not being a good team. They're a getting better team. I mean, even Trey Turner's
starting to hit. They're a significantly underperforming team.
Yes. Yes. And as usual, Byron Buxton is on the injured list. I have seen a lot of people making comments about, oh, look, Byron Buxton's back on the injured list. The dude's always injury prone. Cut him some fucking slack for this one. The dude got pelted in the ribs with the fastball. Like, literally cannot stop that from happening. Like, he had no choice. And he got a rib contusion. He's on the 10-day IL. I can't imagine him being out a lot longer than like the minimum amount of days because bruises go away after a while.
You never know with Byron Buxton, though.
True. He is made of glass. And then the last one would be Jacob DeGrom. We haven't got to talk about Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, I was going
to
mention. Yeah.
I think he's good to be dropped in every league, even a dynasty at this point.
Keep him on your IL in a dynasty. We've had Verlander come back from Tommy John surgery late in his career. I know it's his second one. It's unfortunate for him. It's really unfortunate for the Rangers, but they knew what they signed up for when they signed him to that extension there. So tough go for DeGrom. He never lost as a Ranger. 2 wins in his 6 starts, but that's going to be
undefeated.
Yeah.
Nobody can take that away from him.
Yeah. Also Aaron Judge on the IL again due to fracture or no breaker fracture, a sprain of his big right toe, making that catch against the wall at Dodger Stadium. So he's been off. He was headed to the IL. I was annoyed because the Yankees just kept waiting, like teams have been doing, where they're like they bench a guy for 3 days, then mm-hmm. on the fourth or fifth day they activate him retroactively. Just put him on the IL. Also, Yahoo has been slow to update the IL status, so I'm also annoyed about that.
That's why I hate playing on Yahoo. Like I like that Yahoo like tracks your how good you are, or whatever, and you get like a silver, gold, diamond, whatever.
I'm just used to Yahoo.
A lot of people do like that for whatever reason, but like I haven't played on a Yahoo league before, so like I don't have a rating. I'm just really fucking good at fantasy baseball.
Where's your rating though, Blake? You don't have a rating. You can't say that.
You know what? I had somebody tell me that at one point at the beginning of this year, and I was like, "You are not fucking serious right now." And then another injury update: Jazz Chisholm. Sounds like he's been cleared to resume some like light baseball activities, and it looks like he'll be back. It's probably going to be a few weeks still, but he did get positive news, and he is going to be back in the coming weeks. I don't know how you feel about Jazz Chisholm. I'm still very high on him. I still think he's the ultimate buy low player right now because we've all seen what he can do. And I mean, that's his upside is like a 35 home run, 35 steal guy that's going to bat 230.
He's just now like he's had injuries to like his toe now. Didn't he have like a broken back before and had some other like hamstring last thing?
Year, yeah.
Like he's just had so many different injuries that. You wonder if it's like a Buxton type, and maybe I don't know, or like someone like DeGrom, like these players just keep getting injured. It's tough because he does have a high ceiling, so maybe go for if you're like you want to take a big swing, go trade for Jazz Chisholm. It's either going to be you could connect, or it can be a big swing and a miss there.
And one other thing I want to cover because it hits near and dear to me. It sounds so somber when I lead up to it this way. My. The Seattle Mariners pitching. So I haven't checked the WAR today because I was too scared to, but there was a point in time not that long ago where their Seattle Mariners pitching was on track to have the greatest season in MLB history in terms of like F WAR. Like not like they'll be the best this year, like greatest in MLB history. At one point, they were like 1.5 WAR above Minnesota, who was second. Now, the last few games, they have somehow managed to give up. Let's see. So they gave, I'm irritated. They gave up 10 runs to San Diego yesterday, 1-4-1 the day before that. That's cool. They gave up 12 to Texas on the fourth, 16 to Texas on the third. 10 to the Yankees on the 30th, 10 to the Yankees on the 29th, 11 to Pittsburgh on the 26th. It hurts my fucking soul. Their pitching is very good. They just got Andres Munoz back for the bullpen, who is electric. Probably my favorite thing about Andres Munoz is, yes, he throws 103 miles an hour, which is nuts, but he's a very slider-dominant pitcher, so he makes you fucking... He makes you try to hit the slider, and then he just sprinkles in 103 mile an hour fastball and dares you to
hit. Love that combo. Love that combo.
Yeah, it's literally like a 53% or 55% slider usage for Munoz, like very heavy. But a lot of this Mariners pitching struggle has been due to, one, just the fact they're facing some pretty crazy teams like San Diego might suck this year, but they still have an elite lineup. So giving up 10 to the Padres normally isn't that crazy. Granted, it came against George Kirby, which hurts a little. But like Logan Gilbert also gave up a ton of runs. But I mean, again, that's Texas, and Texas is probably outside of Tampa Bay.
Gilbert had the one win. It was
he had the win.
Yeah, it was Miller and right. Wu had the two losses. Don't besmirch my namesake.
Wu, my bad, your brother. you guys are probably about the same height too.
Probably.
But Wu pitches again coming up. I feel sorry for that kid. I don't know why the Mariners are doing this to him.
Gilbert got blown up by the Yankees. His start.
Yeah, there we go. That's the one that it was.
Disregard.
Yeah, everybody's been kind of getting blown up. You just have to keep in mind that all of these Mariners pitchers are very young. This might be Logan Gilbert's like fourth year, but I think he's 27 or 26 years old. He's still young. Logan Gilbert or George Kirby is like 23. still only in his second year. Random games like this are going to happen, especially
how's Matt Brash been doing? How's he been looking?
Unluckiest relief pitcher in baseball. I just saw an article come out from God. I wish I could remember the author's name, and I apologize, sir, for not remembering your name. He writes for The Athletic, covers the Mariners. He just wrote an article about how Matt Brash is the unluckiest relief pitcher in baseball. Because if I pull this up real quick,
his ERA is 4.88, and his FIP. Do you know what his FIP is, Blake?
Not off the top of my head, I do not.
1.75.
Yeah,
over a 3-point difference there. So yeah, that has to be some sort of
look at his BABIP against. I can't pull it up fast enough. Look at his BABIP.
Isn't that what FIP kind of measures though?
Not really, or kind of, but not really.
His BABIP is 528.
Yeah,
BABIP against is 528. Jesus.
Yeah, so he might not even just be the most unlucky relief pitcher in baseball. He might
strikeout rate 40%. Walk rate 8.8.
He is an incredible pitcher that keeps getting let down by the fucking defense over and over and over. And so on paper, if you're one of those people that just checks like, oh, he's got like a 4.8 ERA, he fucking sucks. Like, he looks bad. But then when you look at literally everything else, you're like, oh, he is probably one of the most dominant relief pitchers in baseball. If he could just get like just a little smidge of some defense behind him, it'd make a big difference, but that's the Seattle Mariners.
Is he used like as one of like the first guys out of the pen, or is he more towards the end, like a seventh inning guy?
He's like a seventh inning guy.
All right.
Which is, so like not the highest leverage situations, but
what is it? Seawald, Munoz. Who else is back there?
Seawald, Munoz, Brash, Penn Murphy. Gott has been getting a lot of usage this year, and he's playing really fucking well too. Penn Murphy's the weird one because the Mariners have all these guys that throw like a 100, 101, 102, and then Penn Murphy's fastball is like 88 miles an hour. It's fucking wild. Got to throw him off. Other than that, I mean, I think that's all we got. It's been a good week of baseball. Everybody keep enjoying Ellie De La Cruz. Matt McClain, I don't even know how to rank Matt McClain because all he's doing is just hitting the shit out of the ball. It's got like 11.
The Reds are so fun. Watch out for the Reds in that week NL Central.
I'm not lying when I say I have watched every pitch of the Reds games for the last 3 days since Ellie got called up. Literally every pitch. I was at work today watching the Reds on my phone so that I could watch it because it's electric. And Will Benson with that fucking bat flip. Yeah. I don't care if you didn't like it. I fucking loved it. That shit was intense. He just walked off the Dodgers. I don't care. I saw Bucky Jacobson from out here in Seattle, one of the radio hosts, former major league player, talking about how he hates how a guy that's been in the league for multiple years and is a career 170 hitter and just hit his second home run would celebrate like that. And it was like, no, he just walked off the fucking Dodgers for maybe the most electric team in baseball at the moment. Like, he should have reacted no other way.
Oh yeah! Did you see the Marcus Stroman did the Soto shuffle after striking out Soto earlier last weekend? That's what you need to see. You need to get these old heads out of here telling people to not celebrate. You had a huge fucking home run to come back against the Dodgers. Celebrate it!
Yeah, and see the people you never hear complaining about that stuff are the players. It's everybody else complains about that shit. Like Soto didn't give a shit that fucking Stroman
Soto loved Soto
shuffle. Yeah, like. The players don't care. They absolutely love it. It's the old players from back in the day that seem to have a problem. Like, Bucky Jacobson, you're cool. I hope one day I get the ability to speak to you on this platform or any other platform. I think it would be an honor, but you are an idiot with that take, and I do not like it. And I'm saying that because I know that you will not hear me. But if you do, hey, what's up, Bucky? Like, I live in the Seattle area, too. What's up, man? Let's talk a little bit. Let's network. But I appreciate everybody for coming out. On a Thursday, everybody that is in the live, I appreciate everybody on Friday and beyond that is listening to this in your eardrums. You guys are amazing, and you continue to allow us to be able to do the thing that we love, and that is create fantasy baseball content to help you guys win your leagues. So please make sure if you love our content as much as we love the fact that you guys listen to it, hit the subscribe button, the like button, the follow button, the 5-star rating button. It takes a half a second isn't an exaggeration. It's literally just a click of the button. And it allows us to continue to climb the charts. I said it a couple episodes ago. We're literally charting all over the world right now, and it's because of you guys. And I can't even put into words how much it means to me. But yeah, check us out on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Twitter at Fake Baseball, Twitch, and YouTube at Fake Baseball Money. We have Instagram, Facebook. We have content literally everywhere for everybody.
And is there something else coming up soon too, or no? Are we not doing that yet?
You know what? We could do that. We got a minute here. There's some people in the live. It has been created, but it's getting some fine tuning before it is accessible. I almost said the wrong word. Before it's accessible to everybody else. Me and Ryan are branching out with our Baseball Money is Fake content. We have created a Substack where we will expand upon our writing. I currently write 2 articles a week for Fantasy Pros. I will be writing at least 1 article a week for our Substack to take a deeper dive into just whatever we want to write about, which is probably one of the most fun things about creating your own content, is having the ability to just write about whatever you want. And so we'll break down trade targets. We'll have prop bets. We'll have buy low guys. We'll have other like expanded waiver wire.
Everything we do on the show here, we'll just have on the Substack articles, maybe just little blurbs about the best pitchers for the next day. Just whatever you guys want. It's going to be an interactive experience. So whatever you guys want to see up there, make sure you let us know.
Yeah. And we've talked about some other behind the scenes things. There might be extra special podcast episodes that are on Substack only. It's going to be free, but we're going to have a paid goodies for the people that pay the monthly. I think we're going to do like $3 a month, real cheap. And we'll have extra articles, more deep dive stuff for you guys to really help you lock down your leagues moving forward, clinch those playoff spots, and win you some fantasy championships.
Also, before we close this out, my edge boost double down play of the day. Got to go with the Kyle Schwarber home run all week. Bet it all June long. You can double that edge boost and able to double your bet with no interest. So go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up for Edge Boost. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge.
I appreciate you for saying we are the best, Dylan. I appreciate you coming out all the time. We always see you in the lives, and we see you in the Discord as well, sg.pn/discord. You are all over the place. Appreciate you listening all the time, man. But if you guys have any fantasy-related questions, just want to talk, or you want to see all the weird shit I tweet about, check me out on Twitter. At Buhlocke, BUHHLOCKAYE.
And you can follow me on Twitter at RGilbertSOP.
And I'll catch you guys next time.
See ya.